today's scriptures are interesting in this. There's a theme you kind of see, rejoicing. That's kind of obvious. Although that Luke reading just kind of sticks out like a thumb there. Now, we talked about that last week with John repentance, and so we have this rejoice, rejoice, and then, oh, you brood of vipers. Okay, there's a connection here. There really is. Now, it begins, I think, in my mind, with what we see in Philippians 4, right? Paul is writing, and this is his most friendly letter he writes. His joy, his love comes out in this letter, and he tells these people, rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I will say rejoice. Now, the language here is of command, imperative. You need to do this. Okay? Folks, rejoice in the Lord. It's very strong. And to even emphasize it more, he says, again, I say it, rejoice. Rejoice, people. All right? There we go. All right. So, here's the question I have, and maybe you do too. What does that mean? Okay? In the face of you know, could I go down to Kentucky today and these folks that are struggling, that everything's been wiped out, and say, hey, rejoice. Is that appropriate? Is that how they're feeling? In the face of grief and pain and sorrow and, again, the wars and just all the troubles that we see in this world, is Paul saying, put on a happy face. Rejoice. Rejoice anyway. You've been diagnosed with an incurable disease. Hey, rejoice. Okay, is that what we're saying here? Now, I get that we say rejoice in a general way often, right? During the Christmas season, it's very easy to see rejoice, right? The songs we sang today spoke of rejoicing. And so in that way, we can kind of remove ourselves, so to speak, from our circumstances sometimes and just say, yes, a baby is born, the Lord is coming. We can say those things. But how do we understand this rejoice in the Lord always? That's the snag for me. Because frankly, I do not feel like rejoicing all the time or even most of the time, probably, depending on the day. How do we understand this then, to rejoice always? Well, it's been hinted at even these last couple weeks. The first Sunday in Advent, we spoke of hope. And the last week, we spoke of repentance. Kind of different topics, but really, they bring us those two things together. And I think the scriptures today, we're going to draw this out for us, bring us to an idea of what rejoicing is. And it's two things, primarily. One is obvious. One is, rejoicing is a response. Okay? A response to something. We rejoice because something good happened. Okay? It's a response to something. And we'll see that. And of course, you all probably know what the obvious answer to that one is. But rejoicing is also, and again, the always part here, it's a lifestyle, a way of life, a worldview, so to speak. Okay? So those two things, what we want to kind of look at is, what is rejoicing? A response and a lifestyle. Now, I think we start off by saying, what are we rejoicing? Okay, the what part. What is it that we're rejoicing? And our two Old Testament scriptures really draw those out, I think, pretty clearly, right? We look at the Zephaniah. You know, sing aloud, O daughter Zion. Shout, O Israel. Rejoice and exult with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. And here it is. This is the ESV, a little different than what we read there. The Lord has taken away the judgment against you. Okay? So it's taken away. The judgment that's against you has been taken away. Isaiah makes it a little easier for us to understand. In verse 2, right away it says, behold, God is my salvation. That is the what that we're celebrating here. That is the rejoicing. Rejoice because God has saved you. The judgment against you is gone. That is why we rejoice. And I love how Zephaniah puts it, right? Because of this, we sing aloud. We shout. Rejoice and exult with all our hearts. I mean, this is intense, folks. This is, 100,000 people at a college football game screaming for their team intense, right? And why? Why? Because we're saved. Because God is our salvation. We rejoice in our salvation. Now, the thing we have to understand with rejoicing is this. The measure of our rejoicing is in direct correspondence to the measure of what we are rejoicing about. Okay? The two are correlated very closely. For instance, all right, if I'm, you know, digging around in the house, on the couch, and I find a nickel, I'm going to rejoice a little bit. I'm not going to lie. It's kind of fun, right? Like, oh, or you know, I find something a lot. Oh, great. I can rejoice. I found this little thing, right? Very different. If I get a letter in the mail and says, hey, Steve, you know, there's this relative of yours that's been kind of strange, and he's left you in his will $1 million. Rejoice, right? Way different. My response is going to be so completely different to those two things. Find a nickel? Yeah, cool. I've inherited $1 million? That is awesome. That is life-changing. That's incredible, right? I'm going to be telling people about it and saying, oh, this is great, and I can pay off bills and student loans, and it's wonderful. Celebrate with me. Come on, I'm having a big dinner. Let's just celebrate this great thing. Unexpected. It's awesome, right? The measure of my rejoicing is directly corresponds to the measure of what is being rejoiced. And so the question that we have then is, in this idea of rejoicing of salvation, Zephaniah gets it, I think, right? When Zephaniah is considering that the judgment against him is gone, that what the Lord is doing here, his measure of response is singing aloud and shouting and exulting. Where the question we have then is, you know, frank and blunt, is where is our heart in rejoicing? In the songs we sang this morning, as we consider a baby born for our salvation, as we, in that double ring of the Lord coming in, is your response in worship, as we consider these things, as we go through this season, what does it show or tell of your measure of what that means to you? Now, as we consider then the what and the how, you know, of what we're rejoicing and consider that now, another question that comes up is how then, the how of rejoicing. In our worship, we see it here as we've done today, singing and shouting and exulting, right? When y'all sang Joy of the World, you know that one. It was pretty good, right? It was pretty good. Now, the Isaiah passage, interestingly, gives us a good picture of the how of rejoicing here. It lists six things, and there's really three. They're couplets, all right? And here's what they are, just to give us an idea of how is a rejoicing, of how one does it in their lives, okay? The first two we have are give thanks to the Lord. We see that in verse, 4 of Isaiah 12. Rejoice, give thanks to the Lord, and call upon his name. This is not just worship. This is life. This is a way of thinking throughout our day, of acknowledging God in our daily grind of things, of work and of life, of home, of meal time, of shopping, whatever it is. You're giving thanks, acknowledging him, having in your mind there, and then calling upon his name, of just that communion we can have with the Lord throughout the day, that he's there. It's an awareness. It's easy to kind of get through a day and think, oh, you know, did I think about the Lord today? He was there. And so it's that will of our own hearts and minds to acknowledge, just say, Lord, you're there. And it may be small things. Saying, thank you, Lord, for, you know, when you pray, we pray for a meal. Okay, it's a good acknowledgement there. Or just, you know, maybe you're mulling over a problem or whatever. Maybe just say, hey, Lord, how can I deal with this? How can I mend this relationship? How can I handle this problem? You know, it's that acknowledgement. So we give thanks and call upon his name. That's one way in our rejoicing. The next two, we see then make known his deeds and proclaim that his name is exalted. That is the proclamation, the acknowledgement of him and letting people know, frankly, right? How it's telling what the Lord is doing and what he's done and what he will do in our lives and having it in our minds all the time. Try this sometime this week, okay? How about this? When someone says to you, hey, how you doing? Or how's it going, right? It's very common, right? We do it all the time. You know, good Midwestern sort of a greeting. And the expectation is fine. and you move on, right? We don't have to worry about too much about it. Right? Try this sometime. Hey, how's it going? Say, the Lord's been good to me, right? Just say, you know, the Lord's been good to me. Or the Lord is good. Or, man, the Lord's been, it's been great, you know? Now, one, you may get a, good for you kind of thing, response, right? We don't want to show too much emotion, right? We're good Midwesterners. But it opens up the door a bit. You know, if there's any curious at all, like, oh, that's odd. Say, yeah, you know, I mean, I've just been had a good week at work, or the Lord, you know, I had a roof over my head. I'm just grateful. You know, have you been seeing that stuff in Kentucky? I'm grateful that, you know, the Lord's protected us here. Whatever it may be. See, it's just that acknowledgement, that just a little bit of a awareness that we are making His deeds known. Let people know, just in small ways, and that they know what's going on. Give thanks for what the Lord has done. In the next couplet, in verses 5 and 6, he says, sing praise to the Lord. And hey, folks, shout and sing for joy. You know, that good Midwestern Scandinavian heritage of mine just does not like that very well. You know, I'm not out shouting very much. Woohoo! Right? Well, maybe I am. I get kind of, you all know, okay. Maybe I'm not. You know, my wife's laughing at me. Okay. Yeah, I often wear my emotions on my sleeve. I'll admit that. But we have good reason to, folks. Okay? We really do. And again, I'm not expecting Lyle to start jumping around and dancing. Yeah, that's, you know, I'd pay to see that. But, okay, but where's your heart? I mean, if you're coming here every single Sunday, okay, folks, if you're here every Sunday and we sing these songs and we read God's word and we do these things together and you don't feel a thing, if you are not at least once in a while moved a bit emotionally, that you see, again, you see me, I mean, my voice catches my throat all the time. What's going on? Why are you coming here? Right? There is an emotive part of it. Again, I don't want to overemphasize it, right? People can get crazy with the kind of thing. But there's something there. And again, it's the measure of rejoicing. If we really understand the salvation, what God has done and who He is, wow! That the God who made everything poured Himself into a baby, for goodness sakes, for my sake. There is an emotion there. It's beautiful. It's good. And that's part of, again, that how is the rejoicing always. Again, I will say rejoice. We have much to rejoice. Now, the how there is kind of a position of worship, right? Just a daily awareness, maybe, of worship, acknowledging God. But here's where the Luke passage comes in. Interestingly enough. Now, we talked about last week in repentance, right? And, you know, again, I my picture of John the Baptist is just, what a guy, man. I mean, just something to see him, right? Just tear into these Pharisees and say God's word. But another how in this idea of rejoicing always, the always part, you get to it, is what John brings us when he tells the Pharisees to bear fruit in response to repentance. See? A part of our rejoicing is the fruit that we bear, the things we do. It's the bearing fruit is the doing good. It's the doing things, and we see that because the people asked him, "What do we do?" And what does he say? Let me find it here. Here we go. So in response to that, and the people said, "What do we do? How do I do this?" Right? What is John about to say? He says first, he says, whoever has two tunics, share with whom he has none, and whoever has food to do the same. There's a how of rejoicing is being generous with what you have, of sharing. That's a way to rejoice in the Lord. You know, if the Lord has blessed you to have two tunics, I can rejoice in that blessing by sharing with others. That is a rejoicing. That is a bearing of fruit. Clothes, food, whatever it is, that God is always concerned for those who don't have. And if He has blessed us in a way that we do have, God's saying, we'll share it and rejoice in that. Now, another part of that rejoicing is the idea of trusting. Because in, you know, if I have two, I say tunics, and I don't have a tunic. I have no tunics. I have none. You know, I could say socks, because I was just talking shit this morning. I have a whole drawer of socks. If you want some socks, please talk to me, man. I've got socks, okay? So, if we go with socks, I might think something like, you know, though, and this is probably why I have a big pile of socks, now that I think about it. What if, you know, I get a hole in these socks, or I lose one, then I don't want to be without socks, for goodness sakes. But if, in just a attitude of rejoicing in what I have and trusting God, I say, you know what? I can give away some of my socks. And if I do come where I need a sock, guess what? God will provide. Right? Isn't that how it should be? You know, we want to hang on to things and think, oh, I'll lay it aside. But if the opportunity comes to help those in need, the idea is, hey, trust me, God's sake. Trust me. Don't hold on to those things. You don't need to have 10 extras. I'll take care of you. I will. Trust him. So we share with others, as you see here. The other thing that bearing fruit in is a way of rejoicing is when the tax collectors and soldiers came to him, right? And I think what God is saying to us is don't exploit others or use your whatever power or privilege you might have. Don't exploit that against others, right? Tax collectors, he says, don't collect more than you're supposed to. And the soldiers, he says, don't extort. Don't threaten, get money out of these people by threatening them or falsely accusing them, and be content with your wages. See, these are people with power. Tax collectors are just notorious in this time, right? They're usually, that's why the Jews hated them so much, because usually they were Jews who kind of were traitors in their minds. And Rome would say, okay, you're the tax collector for this area, and we expect X amount of shekels from you. And then anything above that, you know, you can use for your own expenses. Okay, now, if the tax collector had integrity and ethics, he would, you know, collect a little bit more to cover his living and, you know, those kind of things. But what would happen is, because they have power, they would often way overtax the people. Because every shekel they could get above what he's supposed to send to Rome went in his pocket. And so you can see how easily this could be abused. And again, why these tax collectors were hated so much. Why it was so astonishing when Jesus called Matthew to be a disciple, for goodness sakes. Right? So and that's a principle we see all through Scripture, isn't it? Those who have power or privilege, like Jesus, didn't use it against other people. And the same with the soldiers. They had power. They could do whatever they wanted. You know, they can come up to you and say, hey, you know, shake you down, you know. Say, hey, that's a nice little shop you got there. It'd be a shame if, you know, somebody came and busted it up. Maybe you give us a little bit and we'll make sure that doesn't happen. Right? And John the Baptist tells these people, and the Lord tells us that, and because that applies. I mean, you know, most of us is here, well, I mean, even as an American, you know, we are privileged with many things. We have so much. You know, I don't, geopolitical scale, sure, but even, you know, just being middle class folks here, you know, as I look across the room here, I mean, yeah, there's ups and downs, and I've had ups and downs, but overall I've been very blessed by God. And so if we don't want to use those things against other people, we need to be generous and truthful and not be harsh, to be fair, to be concerned for the weak, to be concerned for those who are marginalized, the helpless, the needy, those who are on the edges of society, those who are hard to love, those who maybe, you know, just don't fit in, they don't dress the same way or right way, all these things that we tend to push out. Jesus says, bring them in. Bring them in. That's where they should be. So that's another how in rejoicing, as Paul talks about rejoicing always, is that lifestyle of being concerned for the needy and the helpless and those who need it. Now, another way, and this comes in Philippians, and this was interesting to me. Another way that this is shown, the how, it was read in verse 5. Now, my ESV says, after Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. He said, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Now, some of your Bibles may say gentleness. Now, some of your Bibles, again, this word, because when I think of reasonableness, that's different from gentleness in my head. So if this Bible says reasonableness, and the NIV says gentleness, or the NSRV says that also, or the New American Bible says kindness, or the New American Standard says forbearing spirit, or the Rheims says modesty, or the King James says moderation, what are we talking about here? Let this gentleness be known to all. Well, I think if you take all those together, it's kind of what we need to see. It's just really a posture of being, I think the Amplified Bible, because they're so wordy, says it good. It says unselfish, considerate, and forbearing. It's just a generally nice person, right? You don't want to be a crabby Christian, all right? No crabby Christians, folks, okay? We have no reason to be crabby, none. And if we are, we are dishonoring our Lord because we're not trusting Him. We're not rejoicing. And so our demeanor, our general demeanor should be, if people, they say, oh, you know, when I ever think about them, they're thinking they're considerate, they're kind, they're gentle, they're helpful. That's what it is. And so in doing that, even if it's against our nature, even if we don't want to, and again, there's times where, you know, I don't want to be forbearing. I want to be harsh. I want to let people know what I think. But if I'm to rejoice in the Lord always, always, then this reasonableness, this kindness, this gentleness, this forbearingness will come through in every situation. We want to be known by everyone to be these kinds of people. That is how we want to represent our Lord. And one of the reasons we can do that is we see that the Lord is at hand. There's the double ring of the Son is here, the King is coming. That is, you remember, I talked about at the beginning, we'll swing back here. How to rejoice always comes out of what we talk about, hope and repentance. As we hope in the Lord for He's here today and working us now, and He's coming again, as we come before the Lord in humbleness and repentance, and acknowledgement of who He is and what He's done for us, we rejoice. We can rejoice. That's the only way we can rejoice always. It comes back, as always, to what the gospel is all about. To understand who we are and the massiveness of what God has done for you, we have that measure of response and rejoicing. And again, if it sounds like works, if it sounds like something we're trying to do, I want you to understand that it's not just about what we think about God, but it is about what God thinks about you. The rest of this passage in Zephaniah, I think is one of the most incredible thoughts that a person can have. And here's why. Because you ever wonder what God thinks about you? We're talking about what we think about God. He's awesome. He saved us. He's amazing. He's incredible. We worship. We respond to Him. Do you think about what God thinks about you? Look at verse 17. This is incredible. The Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. Do you imagine your head at all when you think about God? As we sing all these things, we praise God, we lift up His name, we sing loudly to Him, that God is doing that for you? That God sings over you? That God has such esteem over you that He's doing these same things? That's incredible. That is God's grace to us. To imagine that God so loves us that much that He is singing over us, even as we sing to Him. And if you understand that, and if that just blows your mind, and you really realize that you don't deserve that, God deserves it, no doubt about it. I do not. I do not deserve God to sing over me. That is the gospel. That is how we can rejoice always. Not because of what I've done or how good I am or every effort I make, but because God loves me, loves you, loves us, That is why we rejoice of a baby born, because we know he's going to die for us. And in that, we can have a right relationship with God, and that God, in that relationship, exalts over us too. This is God's work in the world, to love people. That is why we can rejoice. That is why we can help the poor. That is why we can, you know, not think of ourselves higher than others. That's why we can be rejoicing and gentle and humble and not harsh with everybody around us. Not because of, I think I've done or I deserve, but because what God has done for us. And we just accept that in his grace. That's what it means. That is the changed life that happens. And that's how we do it. The good news. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you'll be saved. And in that we rejoice. We rejoice in God and we rejoice in that grace. Just as a final side note here, the end of that passage in Zephaniah, after he talks about rejoicing and quietifies his love and exulting over his loud singing. Man, how loud can God sing, I wonder? But then, just notice the list that God gives of who he's concerned about. Those who mourn. And he says, I will gather those who mourn. I will deal with your oppressors. I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change the shame to praise. I will bring you in. I will make you renowned and praise. God, I will do it. I will do it. I will do it. He is doing it. And if he is your Lord, if you accepted him and know him, he's doing it. And we'll do it more and more. And in that, we can rejoice.